This is the Blaze the Lion podcast. I am your host, Blaze, Blaze Doctari, Blaze the Lion. Yes, yes, yes. We are back at it with these interviews. Have been gone for a while, but we are here. And I am excited. Indeed, indeed. Before I introduce tonight's special guest, just a reminder that we are streaming right now in 38 countries and counting. All right. And we're available on major streaming platforms as a fly just flew into my eye. Gotta love it. From your Spotify to your Google Podcast to your Apple Podcast and so forth. And the whole point of this podcast is to what? It's to highlight others who have found their purpose and had to stop there, but they're embracing their purpose. They're walking in their purpose. They're setting fire, no pun intended, to the stage, to this place that we call home, Earth. And I love showcasing that because finding my purpose was life-changing for me. So I am in search of others who are embracing and walking in their purpose to better elevate and empower you and us, the listeners, so we can do the same. And that's how we make the world go around. It's not gangsters. It's us. Indeed, indeed. This right here is episode, come with it, 99. We're getting there.
Wow.
We're getting there. Yes, yes, yes. I'm determined to kill this fly. We are getting there. We're almost there at episode 100. And we are in the process of organizing something special for that 100th episode. So bear with us. It will be coming soon. Also, if you're loving the movement and you would like to be a monthly contributor, this is going to get annoying. If you would like to be a monthly contributor, you can go to anchor.fm/blazethelion. And there are different tiers there from $1 to $5 to $10 per month. And be involved with the movement of the Blaze the Lion podcast. And you get access to exclusive interviews. You get access to upcoming conferences that we have, How to Blaze Your Purpose, and more. So you don't want to miss that. Be a part of the family. Why not? Why not? Now, for tonight's guest, she is someone that was really intriguing. Someone that I had watched and my team had watched for a bit. And we saw how she was able to squat. And believe me, her squats and her bench presses, this is a joke gone wrong. That is not the reason she's on the podcast. But I'm sure she is a fitness enthusiast.
Well, to insert real fast, I was a fitness trainer and personal trainer and sponsored Puma athlete for about 4 years. So I got a squat going on.
See? I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. Someone besides her dynamic badass squat, this is someone who operates in a holistic approach, which, as you all know, I love, as that's been life-changing for me, as there's so much going on in the world. And yes, we can not know, but why wouldn't we? All right. Get that education and actually enrich your body. Get those nutrients in and actually live as your body should be. So this is someone who is also a musician. Mm-hmm. I've been aiming to get guitar lessons for 15 years. And guess what? I haven't gotten one guitar lesson. And I've tried. So I don't know. Maybe online lessons or something in the future. See? There we go. There we go. There we go. This is someone who was on fire. Not just because of her sign, but this is somebody who has her goals planned out, who sets fire to the stage, who knows who she is, and is not afraid to walk in her true authentic self. So for this podcast, episode 99, I'm bringing to the stage, wait for it, as the crowd goes wild, insert applause here, Monica Arenas, welcome to the pod.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here. And that amazing introduction really set my heart on fire. So I'm here for it.
Awesome. So as mentioned, I gave my little brief, long-winded introduction, but feel free to share a little bit to the audience about yourself.
Yeah, thank you. Where do I begin? I'm going to go towards the holistic route, everything that you were mentioning about lifestyle, because that is what I believe where I'm at is a very clear embodiment, and it feels really good. And I know when I tend to slip and fall. And so my background is in nutrition and dietetics. I studied that in college. And over the years, I branched out of Western medicine and went the holistic route, started my own private practice. I would say I'm a bit of a serial entrepreneur. I've had a few different businesses, a lot of passion around nutrition, a lot of passion around food and health, clean menu development, detox programs. I've done a few of them, and well, I've created a few of them and also done them myself. And really focusing right now also as a fitness trainer, group fitness instructor, you know, really, really lived that life for many years in Miami. That's where I was living for a long time, where I really started. And a few years ago, I took a bit of a sabbatical, a deep dive into a little unknown place that became very well known called Tulum, Mexico. And I've been here ever since, 3 years this month. Travels in between, but this has been my primary base where I have gone down the rabbit hole of music and sound healing and, you know, medicine music, really, which is where I dive deep into and what I love to play most. And so here we are, just coming in full circle. So
yes, there are so many things that you said that raise my eyebrows, so many. So we're gonna attempt to tackle each one without being long-winded here. Yeah. So one of the first things that you said is in the fitness industry and in the fitness aspect, and I myself as a group fitness manager and been in the fitness industry myself as an instructor, trainer, which is year 17 or 18, and I've tried leaving many times, and I can't leave. I end up getting pulled right back into the industry, and I love the people and everything. So with that said, my question for you is, how hard was it to step away from home and to venture out? And was that transition for you pretty seamless, or was it pretty challenging?
Yeah, that's a really great question. Very, very specific. So I'm going to be very, very transparent about it as well. First and foremost, I love fitness so much. I was a gymnast growing up. I was a dancer. I was doing cartwheels on like parking lot blocks. You know, I mean, that was me. I was the little monkey running everywhere. And I fell in love. I fell in love with just being able to move our bodies and everything that our bodies are designed to do. So I totally resonate with what you're saying in that sense. And it was very taxing on my body, actually. You know, there was a point where I was teaching 16 classes a week, private coaching. At the time, I had also a brick and mortar. I had a smoothie shop that I was managing, operating in a spin studio in Miami. And I had my private nutrition practice. So I had a lot of things going on, but my meat of my income actually came from fitness and teaching fitness. And, you know, because my brick and mortar was my own startup and my own investment. And so what really switched for me, to be fully like transparent, I started working with this company called doTERRA. And this is an essential oil company that also has supplements, vitamins, probiotics, great like non-toxic products for the home. And I started my own journey of switching out all these chemical products that I didn't really think twice about, even stuff I was putting on my face, deodorants and whatnot. You know, everything's like pretty commercial in the gyms. Mm-hmm. And I started using the products. And also I was very drawn to wanting to offer these to my clients, right? For supplements, just like this was something I started using. And then I was like, okay, well, I want to start using this as well. And I really started building, you know, building a big clientele business with that, you know, making residual income with that, as well as growing teams, other business partners and advocates that feel in alignment with the products and that are also in the same field or something similar, yogis, holistic practitioners, acupuncturists, chiros, and we all started coming together and working together. And so that actually brought me a lot of financial freedom and a huge cushion that helped me when the pandemic hit and everyone stopped pretty much teaching fitness. Yeah. I just was still making my income because I had built this business as well. Mm. So it was kind of in the works. You know, I felt like I love fitness. I love working with Puma. You know, I was with them for almost 5 years. They're a great, great company. And I love teaching, but I felt that there was more. Yeah. And it required for me to remove myself with my time to open my time up for other things. And it's very clear now it's music. And so that's also been a transition because that means creating time to just play music. And sometimes I feel like I'm similar to you. I like creating and doing and moving. And so having open space to just do art is sometimes like, what? You know, so coming to Tulum was a huge part of it because I really didn't pick up any classes or do any personal training clients. And I just kind of like left it there and continued growing my practice in nutrition and growing, you know, in doTERRA still as a advocate with them. And so it's just continued to blossom. And now I'm also making, you know, my income with music. So.
Mm. Isn't it funny? Well, before I go there, for a lot of us spiritual folks, and we're all spiritual in some form, yeah, whether we realize it or not, right? We're all spiritual beings. But for me, before the pandemic hit, months before, I was having anxiety. I felt that something was going to happen. Something was going to affect my life drastically. Wow. I had no idea exactly what it was or who was responsible. And I don't want to go down that rabbit hole unless you want to, right? But I just felt like something's coming. For maybe about 6 or 7 months before the pandemic, I just felt something was coming. And that said, I even stopped drinking before the pandemic. Like 2 or 3 months before the pandemic, I just felt the need to stop drinking. So I felt something was coming.
Good for you.
And then it comes and I was like, and then I had to shift and get out of my comfort zone. So asking you prior to the pandemic, and then we'll get into what happened in the pandemic. Did you see anything or feel anything?
So I actually had a huge rebirth in September of 2019. And so, yes, I felt a lot and I went through a lot of really deep layers. I will do my best to keep this concise, but I'm pretty sure we're going to explore this conversation in this part of my life as well. I had breast implants for about 10 years. And in 2019, I realized that this was very toxic for my body. Mm-hmm. And my body was intoxicated, even though it looked good on camera. Internally, I felt like my body was not at its best anymore. And yeah, as someone that's in fitness, we know our body really well. I felt systemic inflammation. I felt a lot going on. And I was, you know, really praying for some support financially, just like, come on, like, give it to me. And everything just lined up so perfectly. It was such a blessing. And I had my explant, we call it explant surgery when you remove, in September, around this time. And it was almost as if everything opened and unlocked within my heart and throat chakra, like this whole space. Mm-hmm. And I had probably one of the bigger awakenings of like definitely a monumental period of my life where it was just rapid healing, transformational just like awakening just all these layers of me that had been suppressed unknowingly. And it really put me in my power. You know, it really put me in my power of like absolute self confidence and love and coming back to my true self. And so, I mean, every person's journey is different, by the way. So I really was like committed to that in that process. So yeah, when the pandemic started, I felt really good and I felt able and capable to like show up for others that were really going through their process. And, you know, with the doTERRA products, helping people get the right holistic supplements and oils and herbs that our body can use for a strong immune system and whatnot. So yeah, I felt really, it was a powerful time, I'd say, during that time. It can be scary. Of course, there were moments of unease, but we were all in it together. I mean, this wasn't like one part of the world. This was the whole world was in it. So I came to a point where I realized that this was actually everything that I had visualized in my life as part of my purpose, is that like awakening and helping others with their awakening. It was during that time, and it continues to be as it unfolds.
Mm. Yeah, I remember in the pandemic, my abs were so lean, so clean. A lot of my clients, because I did, as the gyms shut down, the next day, I created a flyer and I said, virtual fitness, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And I got about 80 or 90 people on board. Yep. And every day we were at it in my living room, like in the bedroom, just on it. And that was definitely a scary, powerful time that was so necessary for many. And the fact that you got started in the online space is because if you didn't tap into the online space or prior to, or even in the beginning of it, try to get into, you're behind.
Yeah. And also, it's never too late. And that's something that I really want everyone to feel into, that because it's just about starting and being committed and everything will open for you. But yes, it does help if we were already online and being consistent, because this was, you know, even my previous handle, I changed my handle earlier this year to Shamanica, which is my artist name. It was Feed Me Health. And that's been my company since I was 20. Right. And that was my life dream was
like a year ago.
Earlier this year. I changed it in February, March. And that was what I built everything on: YouTube, Instagram, and just posting, sharing, educating. And so it's been that dream of just being an online course creator, educator. Influencer wasn't a thing back in the day. You know, it didn't really exist when I first started. It was just more like, I want to help people and help massive groups, you know, so virtually is the way. And so if you have that dream, if you have that desire to have massive impact, we have to find outlets that will reach all over the world, not just in our communities. But I did find from the pandemic how valuable it is to have community and have people and have interaction face to face and hugs and to feel the warmth of another human being. I think a lot of people really struggled with that isolation. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Going back to your explant, do you feel that the doTERRA products helped you with that journey? Because you explained that when you had it removed, that you felt your body and your mind and your spirit felt better and all these changes. Do you also feel that the products you were taking as well helped?
Yeah, a million times. I mean, plant medicine, herbs, they've been around before we have, thousands and thousands of years. I mean, this was what the doctors were using back in the day, Greek doctors, back in Egypt, these plants and herbs were like true medicine, and all over Europe and in the Americas as well. And so I used the oils internally, actually, as my antibiotic when I had the surgery. I told the doctor straight up, I'm like, I'm not taking these antibiotics. I'm not doing that route. I'm doing this holistically. He said, no problem. If anything happens, you have them as backup. It was perfect. I appreciated him for being so open. I used the oils also topically to help heal my skin from the incisions and from the scarring and for the massage. So that was extremely beneficial. But I would say that the most important part of the detox process for me was water fasting and simultaneously working with the herbs and oils to help detox my body from heavy metal toxicity, parasites, and just general inflammation that had been building up in my cells. And so I did create a program. I co-created a program with a friend of mine, and we use water fasting, detoxification, oils, you know, alkaline diet to really help the body's process of detoxing. So I did that for about 4 months pre-surgery, and then I waited a month post-surgery to let my body recover. And then I did about 4 months every single month of fasting and detoxification. And then now I do it and host it seasonally.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Let us get into that a little bit more, because I have a few of my clients where every month we do a fast, once a month. So what we do is, depending on everyone's level, it can be 1 day to 5 days, and it can be a water fast. I do give them options. So it can be a water fast. It can be like a fruit fast. Mm-hmm. It can be like a raw vegan, so everything raw. And just giving them the education, because at first glance, when someone who's never fasted in any way looks at fasting, it's like, that's nuts. There's no way. I need my coffee in the morning. You know, I need my this, my that. And then when they do it, you know, for a day, it's like, oh, okay. And then so it grows. But there's a lot of information out there on fasting and what ways and how and whatever. So to those listening, to those watching who have been looking at the idea of fasting, of primarily healing from something that they have been battling for a while, what are some of, in your opinion and in your expertise, what are some of the first steps?
Yeah. Yeah. So my first few fasts, I found a friend of mine who's an ND, I'd say. He studied medical to become a medical and MD, but he ended up dropping out and going completely holistic. And I consider him an ND in his practice. He was hosting some group fasting, and it was a little rough. You know, we still drank coffee. We broke eating pizza and like yummy things. And I was like, oh man, my stomach feels like it just ate some rocks after doing a fast. Mm-hmm. And so I needed to research and really understand how to do this effectively, safely, in a way that also helped my, give me 1 second, my puppy here, that really supported, you know, my detoxification and my healing, because you can actually not injure, but really counterbalance all of the work that you do if you break a fast and go eat a pizza, right? And if you have any sort of history with disordered eating patterns, anorexia, bulimia, orthorexia, or even just these thought patterns, right? Of like obsession with food, or, you know, I'm not going to eat. And then all of a sudden you eat, like that can come up. And that's actually my specialization in nutrition. That's what I studied, because as a younger girl, that was what I really struggled with. And so there was a lot of factors around that. And when I created the LunaFast, oh, I'm sorry. I have my puppy here trying to cuddle with me. When I, you know, was really researching all of this, that's how the LunaFast program came to be. And that was, it's a 10-day program around the new moon where we do 3 days of water fasting, but 2 days to prep you, and then a 5-day come out. So we start refeeding slowly, doing fruit fasting, juice fasting, alkaline diets. And so it's a very safe and effective way to do a 3-day water fast. And I think that that was really helpful, not just for myself, but for other people coming in. Because again, there's a lot of people that will say, oh, you can fast with coffee, but you're just jolting your nervous system and putting yourself at this like really, really stressful state. If you don't, you may not realize it. And some people might think, well, if I don't drink coffee, I'm going to get a migraine. But that's because your body's already been hyper used to having the same chemical inserting in your body every single day. And so I really think that there's so much value in detachment and learning how to not be attached to your coffee, to your breakfast, to meals. Because the first thing that we seek for comfort when we're born is food, and it's our mother. And so that relationship is very deep. It's very, very deep. And so that's a lot of the work that I also do to help unravel that with my clients. And fasting can really help reset that for you. Mm-hmm. A lot of awareness, but it's all in the mind. It's all in the mind, you know.
Yeah. We're going to go deeper into that because I know quite a few people who I've met or who I've known from before, mm-hmm. and did not know they were in the holistic, I don't even like to say journey, let's just say journey, right? And fasting and such. And it's so, so powerful. And just to go back a little bit, especially in the gym, right? People will fast. They'll fast off of food, but don't touch their pre-workout, their coffee. It's like, no. But my doctor said that I can. I'm like, okay, you do what you want then, you know? But yeah, so.
Conditioning, that's all I'm going to say. We are so conditioned. Our environment has a direct influence on everything that we do. And it's such an adventure. It's such an adventure to like cut all of these things out that we're so freaking used to having. It's like a pacifier. Everything becomes a pacifier. And it's an invitation to really learn what self-control is and self-love is. And do, and obviously the idea is to do this from a place of love and not from a place of you know, hurting ourselves or pushing ourselves, you know, to these extremes because of hate or because of not feeling enough or, you know. The idea is to do something because you want to, not because you need to.
Yeah.
And I think that goes for health in general, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I may have to bring you back on the podcast to really dive deep. I'm going to create a panel. No, seriously. Yeah, I do panels. I do panels. I haven't done one in a while, but I do panels. And every time that I do a panel, all the guests, even when guests drop out, mm-hmm. everyone that shows up on the panel is so energetically aligned. It's like,
yes, bring them together. I'm here for it.
So yeah, definitely. All right. So we touched on the holistic space. Now let's get into the music. For I am a musician. I do not necessarily play instruments. Again, I've been calling you for my guitar lessons, you know, but I'm a musician. I dance, I do spoken word, do hip hop, been doing that since the 90s. I'm showing my age, and I wasn't too in the 90s, right? And I've struggled with wanting to make music from the heart and then working with the industry and the labels, and you can't put that out, or you have to change that, or you have to make music more like this. And it's a lot going on in the music. So just share a little bit about the beginning of your music journey. Is it something that you went back to, or was something that was brand new?
Yeah, I came back. So I think we've had very different experiences in the music world. So that's exciting. And of course, It's so funny because yesterday I actually got a message asking for guitar lessons, and you're not the first person to ask. So I think this is definitely an opening for me to, you know, support others that really want to learn how to play guitar. This is, oh my God, I have like what I consider like a super juicy relationship with my guitar. Like that's like date night sometimes. It's just like jam out together and just go down the rabbit hole of like exploring so much. There's so much to unravel in that instrument. Mm-hmm. So I started, let's see where I start. My parents had a piano, and I think at about age 3 or 4, I was doing the thing. And my brother, 7 years older than me, he is what I consider a musical prodigy. I mean, that guy is like insanely talented with just picking up sounds and knowing how to play them directly into any instrument. And he was a huge influence in my life growing up with music. So we would both play on the piano. And I fell in love. My parents were musicians. My mom, you know, my dad met my mom when she would play in bars in the Bay Area, piano and singing. And my whole family is musical on my mom's side. And that's something that I really feel is a generational gift that I feel very honored to continue to share. As a kid, I did, you know, start piano classes. I did classical training for about 8 years. And I had a big dream of singing and performing on stage. I loved, you know, J-Lo and Shakira and like Britney and the Spice Girls. Like I was very 90s raised kid. I wasn't too either, but I was definitely like influenced by my older brother, let's say.
You weren't too?
No.
Aren't you?
I was two, actually. I was two in 1990. I was two, but it like 9 or 10 in the 90s still. So I got a big opening of like Nirvana and like Smashing Pumpkins and like, you know, rock and a lot of cool bands, you know, that played really great instruments. And so I had that dream, but I didn't feel like I actually could do that for some reason. I still think I could go back and maybe unravel a little more deeper why, but I just kind of left it there. But I did play piano for about 8 years. And then around age 11, I picked up the guitar and I started playing guitar with my brother. He taught me some songs, some chords, but I got really frustrated because I couldn't sing and play at the same time. And like, I wanted to do both. So
it looks hard.
It's different. It's different. You know, it's like multifaceted coordination. You're just like doing this, doing that, and like patting your belly, rubbing your head kind of thing. And then I put it aside. I put it all aside. My teenage years, I was pretty rebellious. I was like wanting to be out of the house and just not be at home and not really be studying. And, you know, I had just kind of been taking a break from all the things. And in my 20s, I picked up the guitar again. And I was really processing a lot of emotions and a lot of things in my 20s with the guitar, just sitting in my room, learning songs online, just Googling and like, I love Shakira, you know, I love No Doubt and like bands like that. And so, yeah, just like playing. And then after my explant surgery, everything just like realigned and was like, no, your voice and your music. And this is like something that needs to be put out into the world. And so when I moved to Tulum, I had already started, you know, working with sound healing instruments, bowls, my guitar, shakers and different small things like that. I came here and I had already learned a lot of medicine songs, and I got asked to play in psychedelic ceremonies, you know, with psychedelics and with plant medicines. And so for about 2 years, I was just in it weekends and playing and going deeper and deeper and deeper and allowing the music to come through me. And so yeah, that's really where I've been. And now recording and learning production and learning more of like the tech side of creating music. And I haven't, you know, been trying to go into any label or trying to put myself into any specific box. And not that most people are, but sometimes labels do want us to be like certain genres and whatnot. And so just playing. For me, music is play.
Yeah.
that's what I strive. And that's one side of it. And then I do sound healing ceremonies. So I do journeys for people that want to go deeper and unlock parts of themselves. And I mean, I don't even know who I am in those moments. Mm. I just allow to myself to be guided. I allow spirit to just work through me and really like stay away from my brain and just like play from the heart. And I actually do record on my phone because some of my greatest songs have come spontaneously in the moment. Yeah. And it's like, you can't justify what comes through in those moments versus like a recording session in the studio. Sometimes like you're very in the head. So mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm at right now. I'm recording an EP. So.
Hey.
Yeah.
With that said, special performance.
Right now? Oh, man.
We all know we need our business on social media platforms. And at Starchild Social, through research and planning, we create converting posts and stories that attract your ideal client, taking that weight off your shoulders, enabling you to focus on achieving your goals for your business. Check us out for a free consultation at www.starchildsocial.com. Starchild Social, holding your hand through this ever-changing world of social media.
Anything can happen on the Blaze Online podcast.
We could do that. Hey. I'm like sitting in my instrument space. I'm gonna keep it easy. I'm just gonna do a little shaker. So this one I actually wrote recently. So like I've mentioned, like music for me is a very deep practice. And I had my father visiting here in Mexico, and we were on my rooftop watching the sunset, playing guitar, and this white dove comes and sits and looks at me. And I'm like, what's this white dove? Like, I've never seen a white dove here. And it just like subtly messaged me. I got this message, write about me. Mm. And then it flew away. And so I started writing this poem about this white dove. I'm just like, you know, just kind of writing on my own free time. And then within 48 hours, I get the news that a friend of mine had been in a, accident, and he like hurt his neck down, and he was pretty much on a respirator and unable to move. And so I was able to FaceTime him and say bye to him. And before that, I like had finished this poem about this white dove, and so I sang him this song. And so this song really is a representation of the transition of life and our angels, you know, humans that become angels in this lifetime. And so the song has had many different forms, I would say. It went from a state of like sadness and grief to just more of an honoring and a celebration. Yeah, so I'll do a short version of it so we can get some more. Pajarito blanco de la tierra te vemos, pajarito blanco planeando con el tiempo, pajarito blanco yendo hacia el cielo, pajarito blanco elevando sueños, libre en el viento, fluyendo en el momento. Libre en el viento, fluyendo en el momento. Pajarito blanco, eres un encanto. Pajarito blanco, por ahí gozando. Pajarito blanco, siguiendo hacia allá. Pajarito blanco, cuidando desde allá. Libre en el viento, fluyendo en el momento. Libre en el viento, fluyendo en el momento. Eres el encuentro entre mundos eternos. Llévanos allá. Llévanos en paz. Un bello espejo. Tus alas expandiendo. Llévanos allá. Llévanos en paz.
Hey.
A short version of it.
All right. So what does that mean?
So most of my music is in Spanish. Some of it's in English. Colombian family, so it's my first language. It's about this white bird, and some of the lyrics, for example, are, going towards the heavens. So it's like pajarito blanco means white bird, and it says white bird going towards the heavens, white bird taking care of us from above, white bird going that way, white bird in peace, and it's a lot of that, just like the representation of the bird flying up and alleviating us of our fears, of our doubts, opening our hearts, taking us to the heavens. The chorus says, free in the wind, flowing in the moment. Mm. Take us there, take us in peace. Take us there, take us in peace. And so, these are things that sometimes they just come through and it gives me goosebumps to think about. I'd say my music's a little deep.
We need it.
It's medicine music. So that's kind of my genre, I guess, if I had to put myself in a category. But I support a lot in plant medicine journeys. So I cover a lot of medicine, traditional medicine music, medicine music from different indigenous communities throughout the world as well. And yeah.
We need it. There's only so much of the shake my booty and I'm a drug dealer and had sex with your baby mama.
Yeah, yeah. Although it is fun to dance. I do like to go out and dance, but yeah, I really focus on music that is, creating music that feels for me. I mean, the main deviation for me is like how I feel when I hear the music. How does my body, am I feeling liberated? Am I feeling expansive? Am I feeling open? That's really more of my focal point than so much like what do others want to hear. Mm-hmm. And then the feedback is like, oh, what the fuck? Like, give me more. Like, what do you mean? This is amazing. So I'm like, oh, okay. Like, it's safe, I guess, for me to continue in that path. And sometimes it is a little different because it's an unknown path. But when we are guided with spirit and we're, I feel very in alignment with my relationship with the greater force, as they call it, just flow with it. Yeah. So that's been the big shift, is letting go of other parts of myself, being a fitness instructor, being in big corporate companies and just going down a deeper path that feels really, really in alignment.
Do you feel more peaceful? Do you feel less pressure?
Yeah. I think overall, leaving the United States, and I'm not here promoting like pick up and leave. There's places in the States, I'm sure, that you can find great peace and ease within. I'm sure you can find it in a city. However, there was a huge shift when the pandemic started and a lot of people left big cities. A lot of people were seeking to be more in nature, more connected. Mm-hmm. And for me, it just felt heavy. There was this density, this fear, this unknown that it just... There's so many amazing things about the States. I love the States. I love going back. I stay for a few months here and there. But overall, this is kind of a different subject, but I'll keep it short. It's, in a capitalist world, it's easy to fall into the grind and build and make a ton of money and can we curse on here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like make a fuck ton of money and just like go for it and just be all the time like doing, building, 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 which does give a level of safety when we get there. But can we build as we enjoy? Can we build from a place of ease and flow that doesn't have to take so much from us? And I was very similar to you, you know, back before my explant surgery, just building my businesses and just going. And my nervous system was just like jolted. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to sit still. And I still find like sometimes I'm unwiring these parts of myself. Like our cell phones are deceiving if we let them be. Hmm. Electronics can be deceiving. And so just being in a place where there's more nature, where I can be barefoot, where, you know, sometimes the power goes out where I live. Nobody has power. You just day off. I'm going to go to the cenote. I'm going to go to a beach. And like allowing that part of ourselves to be seen and allowing ourselves to play in that. And so that really shifted me from being in a hyper masculine state where I was obviously I'm a girl, I'm feminine, but I was like type A, work, build, da 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 da, and like moving to a place. Mm-hmm. Where it's a little free flow. It's kind of like very feminine energy here. It's just like there's no scheduling. People show up kind of whenever they do. It can be frustrating for someone that has a business. It can be frustrating if you have appointments and you have things to do. So for me, it's like finding that balance here.
Yeah.
And I live in a very free flow town. It's a small town, but I'm doing my things just at my own accord, you know, versus like that societal pressure. You know, and I know it hasn't been easy with prices rising and rent going up and just everywhere. It's been a big shift. However, I really think that all of us can use a more frequent reset, mm-hmm. whether it's on the weekend, whether it's a few hours, you know, every few days, like taking a staycation, half a day off on a Wednesday, like,
hey,
you lose nothing and you gain so much peace, so much joy, so much clarity. You get messages, you get answers, you like allow yourself to break out of this mold that we actually think we're supposed to be. Because that's all we're doing is thinking of who I'm supposed to be. But when we break down all these ideas and constructs, it just, what flows from the heart can be very different. And I follow that. I follow that expansive space.
Yeah. This has, everything is energy, right? And I was researching it because I didn't really think about it that much until someone brought it to my attention. I forgot what the term is. You may know what the term is, where it deals with your zodiac signs and your energy and it.
Astrocartography.
Yes. So in essence, saying that it's certain places in the hemisphere that would give you different energy if you. Yeah. So I'm like, so for me, I am introvert. Right. Introvert. I'm deep down. I'm really a shy little kid mm-hmm. that loves sugar. Just give my sugar and I'm good. I just sit in the corner. But my career, everything I do for money is in front of the camera. Mm-hmm. Everything. Even when I don't plan it that way, I end up being on stage, being in front of a camera, something, whether it's teaching, whether it's the podcast, whether it's to go speak somewhere, whatever it is. And people assume that because I do that for a living, that I'm always an extrovert. It's like, no. On stage, I have no fear. Like being a musician, I'm in the zone. So I don't even see y'all. I'm in my own zone. I'm having a blast. I scream. I roar like a lion. I do all sorts of things. And then when that's done, and they walk up to me and they ask me a question, I go back to that shy little kid. Mm-hmm. Oh. Right. So people in my past that like my exes and whatever, they were drawn to that because they were like, oh, he has charisma. He's always at a 10. And oh, this is so, you know, magical. And it was like, I'm actually human too, and I struggle with it, you know, with some insecurities and everything else. So just seeing you shift from South Florida, and as we know, those in South Florida know that South Florida is not really Florida, even though geographically it is.
It's Latin America. It's the best, it's like the Caribbean. Like a Caribbean flair. It's the best, honestly. I freaking love it.
Even when they vote, right? You go into, you know, voting for the president or whatever, South Florida will have its own its own opinion, and the rest of the state is going like a totally different way, right? So South Florida is different. Mm-hmm. But then traveling to somewhere like a small town, did it take you a while to adjust, or was it instant where you were like, yes, this is it?
So I was born and raised in the Bay Area of California. So I was raised in like a much more like a suburb connected to like a big city, mm-hmm. huge metropolis feel. At about 16, I moved to Miami with my mom, and you know, I was in Kendall, I was in the suburbs again. And then in my 20s, I moved to Edgewater, to downtown. I found South Beach. I'm like, okay, this is way more my life. Honestly, I don't want to be in a car driving more than 30 minutes a day. That is like, I'm at capacity with like where I want to spend my energy. And so South Beach was like my sweet spot. I was there for many, many years, rollerblading, riding my scooter around, going to yoga. Like I already lived that beachy, like chill, small town vibe, because South Beach is very small, relatively. And most of my life I spent going to Columbia. Summer, Christmas, it was like non-negotiable. We're going to Columbia, we're going to Columbia, we're going to Columbia. So I've always loved Latin America. I've always loved being in a Latin culture. It feels really good. Miami felt like home when I moved there. When I was in California, it was like, you know, you're like black, white, Chinese, or Mexican. And I'm like, I'm like neither of these. I'm like, I don't understand like what these boxes are about. And so being in South Florida, it's like you start to recognize all the flavors and all the little pockets of the Caribbean and South America. And it felt really good. And so when I came to Tulum, it was just this magical town. It was just like synchronicities and magic, and just it's very different. And so it felt really good, and for me, I flowed with that. I mean, of course there's things that can be frustrating about like new places and whatnot, but I was very well received, I would say, here. And so I've stayed around because I was planning on being more nomadic, but it just felt really good to ground here and explore. And sometimes I'm like, my chapter's over, move to the States or move to Colombia or Costa Rica or this. And it's like, I don't know. It's like, I'm just here because I love it so much. I'm like, find me a better lifestyle and a better situation. And I'm super open to it. But until then, I'm riding this wave.
Yeah. I love it. I thoroughly enjoy traveling. Mm-hmm. And as much as sometimes I'm over South Florida, as a father, this is home, yeah. Right? And that's just what it is. However, I do enjoy traveling. So any chance I get, whether it's for pleasure or for business or to go somewhere to go speak or whatever, I just love exploring, because you assume that everywhere is like where you are, and you go to even in US, even just other states, and you're like, oh, it's different. You go to Georgia and you're like, oh, well, it's just right there, one state over. It's very different from Florida, right? You go to New York and Jersey, you're like, I thought it was fast in Miami. And then you go to New York City, you're like, okay. Right. So a lot of places are very different, and they have their own energy. Absolutely. So I just love seeing I feel like spiritually, energetically, that I've watched your journey for some time, even if it was just you know, on the phone, but just hearing you talk, it's like, oh, I can see that. Mm-hmm. Oh, I get that. Mm-hmm. I love that. So just know that many people are watching your journey and they're watching what you go through. And it's probably people who have never reached out to you. Maybe they're too afraid to reach out to you, and you'll never know. But just by your journey, you are inspiring and empowering so many people.
Thank you. Yeah, there's times where I want to log off and like just be off my phone, more importantly. And then I get messages, or I get, you know, these types of reminders. Why? You know, I resonate with what you're saying about like being in the spotlight, and it's like an easy, comfortable place. And then there's also the human side of like processing and mm-hmm. feeling. And it's about finding that balance, I think, more importantly, and knowing your why, and really trusting and leaning into that. Because there's always something greater than us that's really working through us. And when we can be in alignment with that, everything else is out the window. Like you just go for it and hold on tight. That's what they say in ceremony. Hold on tight. You're just like, all right, here we go. And I for anyone that's, you know, listening and just out there really like feeling sometimes stuck, because I've felt in those places of being stuck, and it, you know, the answer isn't always picking up and moving to another country. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the answer is revamping your house and feng shuiing a little bit, you know, carving out more corners for you to find your nature, getting more plants in your home, making sure you're getting sunlight in the morning, and like doing those acts of connection with the earth and with the elements and with ourselves can make sitting at a computer for 7 hours way, way better. Because you're filling your cup in other arenas throughout the day. It's not just like once a year for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. We're not designed for that. At least I don't think we are. I mean, I enjoy life too much. Life is so short. It'll be gone like in an instant. Next thing you know, you'll be 50. So you got to enjoy it while you have it. Me too.
I'm not far. I'm trying to milk these 40s right now. I'm happy here. Even though I told my son, he's like, you're in your 40s, and he's like, so this year you're gonna be whatever, and I'm like, no, once I turn 40, the numbers count backwards, bro. So no, I'm not 41, I'm not 40, no, we're about 38 now, so we're going, you know, I'm growing and I'm maturing, but my cells, they feel renewed. So I'm getting younger every year.
Biohacking does a lot. So 40s is the new 30, 50s is the new 40. I mean, you see women having babies in their 40s. I said forever. I'm like, in 10 years, I'll have kids. And I'm like, 35. And I'm like, 10 years can still be an answer, but I don't know if 10 years is what I want.
And you never, I feel like you're never really ready. I was 35. Mm-hmm. When I became a father, and I know many people, my peers started at 18 or 19, and now their kids are in their mid-20s, and they just finished college, and now they're partying and doing all that, and I'm like, well, I need a babysitter. Right, very, very different. But I believe that it came for me at the right time, because when it came, it was so easy for me to shift. And I'm like, Father, okay, I don't need alcohol. I don't need to do this anymore. And it wasn't like a struggle. It was like, drop, shed that, and shed that. So I think for me, my spirit was ready. Even though mentally I was like, but hold on, but all this money that I have stashed away, how, you know, you start overthinking, but it for me was the absolutely best time.
I think sometimes thief can be the biggest, I said that backwards. Sometimes comparison can be the biggest thief of our joy. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy to compare and to look. And of course, like when all your friends start having kids or when they start buying properties and like making these big moves and these transitions, it's easy to feel like, oh shoot, like should I be doing that and this? And we all have our own path to walk. And I think that, you know, when I see like put your blinders on and focus on something, it's like, yeah, you can build an empire doing that. Or you can also just focus on what's for you and stop looking outward for the answers. Because when we are really true and honest with ourselves and we're able to tap into that clarity that we all have access to, and I find that in stillness, you get the answers and everything unravels so much easier. Right. Like, I know for myself, sometimes I'm like, do you think I should do this or this? And then I call someone else. Do you think I should do this? It's like, bro, stop. Hone it in, feel into your heart. What's meant for you will always come at your time. Stop doubting, start trusting, and like enjoy the ride. You know, enjoy the unknown. Because sometimes it's like, oh, what's going to happen next?
Yeah. Preach, girl. I tell that to my life coaching clients, because they want, sometimes they come to me and they're like, fix me. It's like, no, this is not what we're doing here. I'm not fixing anybody, nor am I going to give you advice like, well, this is what I would like. No, we're not doing any of that. Why? Because the answer is already there. Mm-hmm. I'm just helping you to uncover it, to get rid of all the clutter. Mm-hmm. But the answer is there. We are moving forward, you know, let's go. So just sharing. So as you were sharing that, I'm like, yeah, we keep looking over there and looking. And I heard something. I was watching a video this week, and he was saying that there's, for some of us, there's somebody in our life, it could be a partner or a family member or whatever, and they care for us a lot, they love us a lot, but spiritually we're just not in sync on a lot of things. So they're giving you their perspective and their advice from love, but it is not for you, because they don't overstand, mm-hmm, right, what your journey is and just what your path is. Mm-hmm. So it's not the, oh, well, you know, I'm just trying to help, so you should get a job and you should do this and you should, and it's like,
should.
I'm just called to flow.
Yeah. I find that I feel most of us probably go through this with our parents in one way or another, you know, because they lived it a certain way. They did a certain way. And of course they want the best for you and they want to love you. But man, we are their children because we are actually here to evolve. And I think that that was like the biggest challenge I confronted with my parents, was just them trusting me to just go through whatever I needed to go through. And in the end, it's like, I you know, would take their advice. I would listen to their advice, but I don't think I ever really took it too often. But because many of us are meant to carve out new paths. Mm-hmm. And of course, like, I come back now and I appreciate them more than anything for all of the work and love and everything they put into us. And that can go for any family member. Mm-hmm. Just having that compassion and that respect for them and their time and their care. And also recognizing that, you know, we all have our own gifts and individual path to really follow. And I think it's important to not, you know, bypass what someone's telling you, because they're telling you something for a reason, but also like follow your heart.
Yeah.
What you're saying is like, just follow your heart.
Yeah. Yeah. So many confirmations in this conversation. So yeah, love it, love it, love it. In conclusion, and I know we spoke about stepping away from social media and fasting and all of that. But with all that said, how can people reach you? How can they get information, whether it's the doTERRA, the music? How can they get in touch?
Yeah, so right now I'm actually about to launch my websites with an S. I've been rebranding a lot. Like I mentioned, my business for nutrition coaching, detoxing, group coaching as well for fasting and wellness is under feedmehealth.com. So most of my nutrition holistic work, even doTERRA stuff, like you can find all of that under feedmehealth.com. And within the next month, I'll have my full name, monicaarenas.com, as a website to kind of like be the umbrella. And then Shamanika, which is my artist name, xamonika.com. So that'll be where all my music will be streaming and like where I'll be. I kind of wanted to like put it in different categories in case people want to, they find me in different paths. So, yeah. But really Instagram, that's where it's at. I mean, that's Instagram and YouTube. I do post some content in YouTube still and Instagram, xa.monica. I'm pretty consistent with my inbox. I love connecting, talking. Shoot me a message. We can always chat. You can book a 15-minute consult call to see if you're interested in working with me to better your relationship with nutrition, if you need to lose weight, if you want to just learn how to eat right. That's something that I really, really enjoy. I have 4-month, 6-month programs, detox programs. So yeah, feel free to shoot me a message and we can see where you're at. I also work in medical nutrition therapy. I work with doctors and I work in helping people get off medication for blood pressure, for diabetes, like helping reverse disease. Yeah. Also autoimmune hormonal health. So.
Love that. Love that. Love that. Make sure you reach out to her and book your call. I'm booking my guitar lessons, y'all. I'm just saying, whether she knows it or not. on social media, again, it's xa.monica with a K. Mm-hmm. And this is great. This is great. If there was one word or one quote, one phrase that you wanted to leave our audience with, what would that be?
Dream bigger. Dream bigger. Shoot for the stars. Keep going. Just keep dreaming and dream bigger and dream bigger. If you're crossing off your dreams and your goals, you got to go bigger.
Yeah.
Don't play small. Go bigger.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. This was episode 99 of the Blaze the Lion podcast. The audio of this will be available shortly. Out soon on your major streaming platforms. Indeed, indeed. And again, stay tuned for that 100th episode. It is going to be epic. It is going to be a movie and more. You do not want to miss it as she sips her tea. All right.
Mm-hmm. Cacao.
Ah. Oh, man. I love it. I love it. Thank you all for tuning in. Peace and love. And remember, as she just mentioned, dream bigger. Mm-hmm. Dream bigger. Look at those visions. You were given those visions for a reason. You were given those promises. Those downloads came to you at that time for a reason. And even if they're scary, it's supposed to be scary, right? Because you're not doing it with your physical strength. You're not doing it with just your mental capacity, right? Mind, body, and spirit tapped in. So dream bigger. As big as you can dream. And then go beyond that, all right? Because it's in you. You are here for a purpose. So not just walk in your purpose, find your purpose, but empower others in their purpose as well. As I always say, peace. And love.